VoiceAmericaHealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
People are killing, they'll do anything. Fill their bodies with poison things just to feel good. Just to feel good. And why must everything I learned be so hard? Can't you see I'm giving up? I don't know where you are. Where are you? All when black clouds come over me, they darken my skies. It's how I look at things to give me new eyes.
Do you or someone you know suffer from addiction? While many of us have an addiction to something, we have few places to turn to get the help we need. Welcome to Addiction in America with Rebecca Bullion. Learning about addiction and that you are not alone is the first step in getting things back on track. Our show will bring you to that first step and much more. Now, here is Rebecca Bullion.
Well, hello, listening audience. I'm Rebecca Bullion, and you're listening to Addiction in America, and happy Tuesday. Today, my guest is Carol Colleran. She has authored the book with co-author Deborah J. The title is Aging and Addiction. And so today we will be talking about this subject, and the topic would be aging and addiction isn't one of life's last pleasures. I love that. So that's the title of our show today. Dr. Carol Colleran, how you doing?
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. You know, I know that when I sent out my email invite, I put Dr. Carol Colleran, but I learned that it was incorrect to call you doctor. But I always say when people call me Dr. Bullion, I always say, well, I'll answer to anything.
Yeah,
anyhow.
That's right.
Well, I welcome you today. And this is a really good book, Aging and Addiction. And I believe the website that goes with it is agingandaddiction.net. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Agingandaddiction.net.
And you are a consultant for Pine Grove Behavioral Health and Addiction Services, yes?
I am right now, yes. I tried to retire.
Yeah, that's right. You were trying to retire and get married, and we just couldn't let you, huh?
That's right, exactly. I got retired, and then and I was enjoying it, actually. And then I got the phone call from Pine Grove. And, of course, my heart is with the issue of older adults and appropriate treatment for older adults. So they asked if I would please at least just come over and take a look. They wanted to develop a program special for older adults. So I
wow.
did, and they were great, and there we went.
And so tell me a little more about how you got interested in working with this population.
Well, that's kind of interesting, too. I had no intention even of working in this field. I am 30 years sober myself. I've been in recovery for 30 years. I had a 25-year alcoholic marriage. Alcoholism took that marriage. Three of my four children and my husband all ended up in treatment at various times. So we had a lot of addiction in our household. And when I was about 2 years sober, my 23-year-old daughter was diagnosed with terminal cancer, with ovarian cancer. She had recently graduated from college and interned and was working at a hospital. And so that was the turning point in my life. And, of course, I devoted the rest of the time. She lived for 15 months, and I devoted that time to being with her and taking care of her. When she was just before she passed away, she passed on February 3rd of 1986. And shortly before she died, she said to me, I have had a vision, Mom, and there is something that you're meant to do, and I don't know what it is. there is a message that you're meant to give, and I don't know what that is, but I know it starts with you going back to school and become an alcohol and drug counselor. And I had absolutely no interest in doing that, but she made me promise her that I would. I ultimately did that after Kathy passed, and went to work, or went to school at Hazelden up in Minnesota, and then went to work for them. And I was there about a month in school, and I got the phone call from my son that my husband had passed away too. So there I was, 50 years old, and in that kind of a situation and trying to go back to school.
I do love that story about your daughter. I'm sorry for your loss, but that just shows how God really speaks through people.
God does. And today I know that my commitment to working for the whole issue of aging and addiction is that vision that my daughter had. I have absolutely no doubt that that's what I was meant to do. Hazelden ultimately sent me down to Florida to what was then Hanley Hazelden, and it was when I was clinical director there that I realized that we were not serving our older adults as well as I thought we could. Now, I hadn't been thinking about Kathy's vision, but what happened was as I delved more and more into the issue of older adults, I realized maybe this is what Kathy was talking about, and that's exactly what happened. As I started developing everything, I looked at how aging is changing in this country. The older adult population is the fastest growing population of any. It's just amazing.
Well, can I make one comment about your path there? It sounds like, you know, it all just sort of unfolded one day at a time, one minute at a time. And I think that's the way that the life of faith goes, is that it's just one day at a time, one minute, and you just sort of know from your spirit what is the next step, and you have to trust that knowing. So listen, I want to talk more about what you were just picking up with, and that would be the scope of the problem and some things that you know statistically about how this is a growing issue.
Well, you know, when I first started looking at this, I realized that I had to look at what people's generational experiences are. In other words, what makes us who we are? And I think that politically, historically, and socially, it helps define who we are and how we think and what we believe. And that's what I did in looking at the older adults. So I started looking up a few statistics, which there weren't very many. And you know why? I found out that even in the 60s and on into the 70s, even people in the field were saying, professionals were saying, if you're not an alcoholic by the time you're 45, you never will be. So consequently, there was not any research. Nobody jumped into research on it. But the thing is, our older adult population, in 1990, it was 13% of our overall population, and by the year 2030, which is not too far away now, it's expected that the 55 and older population will be one-third of our overall population. And,
may I ask you, when we're saying older adults, what age are we starting at?
We're talking 55 and older.
Okay, all right.
Started out at 65 and then down to 60, and now it is nationally accepted 55 and older.
Wow, I'm getting close to being older. Wow, it just hit me. Just right now. Oh my goodness. AARP is going to be after me in a minute. Okay. Let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms, in older adults and how that might differ from younger people with addiction.
Well, it differs considerably because, they don't, from the clinical standpoint, they don't have, the same symptoms. In other words, younger people, when professionals are assessing them, they're looking at an increase of tolerance that develops. Well, mm-hmm. What we're finding in older adults, of course, is as they age and as the body physiologically changes, there is a decrease in tolerance. So in other words, less does a whole lot more. And we have to start looking at things like memory loss, decline in their daily activities of daily living, sleep complaints, unexplained burns and bruises, you know, repeated falls, and what I call nesting, which is when that older adult is in their chair in the living room in the afternoon, middle of the afternoon, and they have their glass, both glasses, eyeglasses and drink glass, and the control for the TV, and they're kind of conking out there every afternoon. We maybe need to take a look at is there any other reason for that? Could it be something else? I'm not saying that everybody that takes a nap in the afternoon, but we just need to be more aware, because I think for the most part, if people see an older adult with shaky hands, you don't
Yes.
think about you don't think about a problem with addiction. You think maybe that what am I trying to think of here? Parkinson's.
Just aging.
Yeah, just aging and Parkinson's. Or when they start having a little memory problems, we think maybe Alzheimer's. I can't tell you how many patients have come into us with a diagnosis of early Alzheimer's, and they absolutely did not have early Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So we need to start looking at things like, you know, communication. Are they kind of confused? Are they tending to be disoriented? What is their social situation like? Are they staying at home more? Are they isolating? Are they not taking care of themselves as well in their clothes, in their hair, in their home? So we have to start looking at those types of things. The condition of the home, is it in repair, need of repairs? Neglected
Yes.
yard, old newspapers, all of those things.
You know, it makes me think also that, you know, as you say, that the tolerance decreases. What would happen if they were to mix medication with that? Would they really be very sensitive to the mix?
Oh, that's a huge issue. One of the simple facts, there are several different things, six different things that change in our bodies as we age. But one of the things that happens is, or two of them actually, one is that our body content, water content, decreases as we age. Well, alcohol is a water-soluble product. So if our body water content is decreasing, we cannot process. We simply cannot process alcohol through our system as readily as we did when our bodies were younger. And you know what? Older adults get that. When we get patients in, if we can explain that process to them, then they understand. And the families begin to understand that less does more.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, I want to continue talking about this. We're going to go to break here in a second. And when we come back, I want to talk about the chapter in your book with the subtitle Wrong Thinking Blocks Right Action and some other myths that we deal with aging and addiction. If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-866-472-5792 or send me an email at Rebecca@addictioninamerica.com.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Please visit Rebecca's website at www.addictioninamerica.com to get more information on today's show, our guests, and other resources. The website contains a bookstore of material by various authors, musicians, and instructional videos to download. Applications for case management, referrals, and intervention can be made through the bookstore as well. Be sure to visit addictioninamerica.com. Addiction in America is here to help you take control of your life. The website again is www.addictioninamerica.com.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Addiction in America with Rebecca Bullion. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Again, that's Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, thanks for rejoining. This is Rebecca, and I'm talking to Carol Colleran, who's a consultant with Pine Grove Behavioral Health. And if anyone in the listening audience would like to call Pine Grove to talk to an intake worker about the Legacy Program for older adults, that number is 1-888-574-HOPE. Carol?
Yes.
Hey, I want to pick up with an excerpt from your book talking about wrong thinking blocks right actions. What are some of the myths and misconceptions about addiction in older adults?
Oh, it's incredible the things that families have called in, and it just, they think that, I can't take away their last pleasure. And anyone that knows anything about addiction, you know that being steeped in the disease of addiction is not a pleasure. Addiction's a thief. It robs older adults of what I think are some of the most important years of their lives. Historically, our country has had kind of they refer to older adults as kind of the throwaway generation because, you've done your job, you've married, had a family, raised them, you retired, now go quietly and don't bother anyone. And it just is not what aging can be about. It isn't all the wonderful things. One story I can tell you quickly is we had a woman come in that lived over on the ocean, actually, and we had her come in, and she was resistant, didn't want any part of it, and the family wasn't too sure either. And she was just living in her condo, drinking and eating very little, and that was it. Well, she got through the program. She did very well, and one of the things that we do is work with them about a leisure resource inventory. What are some things you used to do? This woman came back to aftercare and said, guess what? I used to be interested in handwriting analysis, and I went and took a refresher course. I contacted the cruise line, and now that woman at age 75 was traveling, cruising around the world free of charge in exchange for her handwriting analysis. No one can tell me that her quality of life did not improve.
Wow, that's a great story. You know, and the other thing you were mentioning about sort of the shelf life on a person's life, how, people may view older adults as, useless or washed up, and those are hard terms. I'm just thinking that happened to my mother in her passing, and I'm looking at the myths. She didn't have an addiction, but she had cancer, and she was grieving my stepfather, and she didn't get the attention that was due her because, she's 81, she's grieving. And so they just threw medication at the pain and never diagnosed the cancer. And by the time they diagnosed it, it was too late. And so I just, older adults, they've got a wealth of years of experience and talents, and we should sit at their feet and listen,
Exactly. Absolutely. We should learn from other countries. There are other countries where the elderly are revered, and mm-hmm. we are losing something if we don't take advantage of the wisdom and all that older adults have. They cannot pass that on to their grandchildren if they are steeped in addiction. It just can't happen.
Right. And one of the myths on page 8 I'm reading, it's temporary. She's drinking to overcome her grief, loneliness, insomnia. Another is, he's always so strong-willed. He says he can get his drinking under control on his own. Or she can't be addicted. You know, that doesn't happen to older adult females. And, you know, some other myths.
Absolutely. The other one, the doctor prescribed it.
Yes, and it's
had a woman come in one time, and the nurses were going through her luggage, and they found a bottle of Valium. They took it, and she said, "Well, you can't take that. The doctor prescribed that for me." And so it's hard, you know. But older adults, older women, consume 60% of all prescription and over-the-counter medications. And if you examine that a little, you realize that that some of those prescriptions are either unnecessary or even wrong for the person. I served on the advisory board of a study out of Columbia University on older women, and they found that over half of the older women that were prescribed any kind of a benzodiazepine, which is your Valium and Xanax and that, over half of them were prescribed wrongly. Now, I would guess that even more than that, because all too often they are given an anti-anxiety drug rather than try and look at what the issue might be. And they don't realize just how addictive those drugs are.
And talking about those drugs, a lot of times they have opposite reactions in older adults, don't they?
Oh, they can, absolutely, especially if you start mixing them with alcohol and other drugs as well. You know, it just, the other thing that happens with medications that are distributed throughout the body in body fat, well, what happens with older adults, because they don't process that as well either, and so they have a longer stay in the body. I don't know quite how to word this, but they have a longer half-life. They stay in the body a longer time. However, they feel like it isn't doing them any good, so what do? They take more. And then they take more. And then you have a buildup. I mean, when we were treating people coming in with a benzodiazepine addiction, you could do a simple taper and get them off. You cannot do that with older adults. They're coming in with 20 and 25 years of daily use
of
Valium or Xanax or whatever it might be. And so people have to know, professionals need to know, and I know I'm getting off into treatment here, but
that's
important,
okay.
Yeah, to know that detoxing an older adult is not the same as detoxing a younger person. And I know that the doctor that we have at Legacy, he's wonderful. I have to tell you a little story about him. He's young. And when I first saw him, I thought, oh, no, these older adults are going to chew him up and spit him out in little pieces, you know, being so young, thinking he doesn't know anything. Well, he's wonderful, and the older adult patients fell in love with him. And something that he does that is so personal that I've never seen another doctor do is on Wednesdays when the older adults are taken out to an AA meeting, after the meeting, they go to a restaurant for lunch, and he comes there and joins them for lunch.
Oh, wow.
So there's that really special touch from the doctor. I mean, how many doctors have the time or take the time or do that? But he really believed that it was, and he's in recovery himself, and he doesn't mind me saying that. But so special touches are very, very important. Older adults look for that.
And what are some other ways that treatment is different in older adults?
Well, first of all, older adults grew up in a time where they have great respect for authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, whatever they are told to do or whatever is on their treatment plan, they work very hard at doing that. So what we found was that even though we told them they could have a rest period, we had to schedule and put it on the treatment plan. Because otherwise they just kept pushing and they just couldn't keep up. So
I guess they do. I guess overall do they overall do better in treatment?
They do. You know, it's harder to identify. It's harder to get older adults into treatment. But studies have shown that once they are in treatment and complete treatment, they have the highest rate of recovery of any other age group.
Oh,
and
nice.
I thought that was pretty phenomenal. And the other thing is, when what we do is the family program, I thought maybe when we started the older adult program that the families of the older adults wouldn't be attending family program as much as the parents of the others. Well, what that turned out to be was completely false. The older adult program fed more family members into the family program, which was amazing because the adult children of older adults very often are part of that sandwich generation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them. They're raising maybe teenage or college-age children. They have their own spouse, and then they have an aging parent, and there's just tremendous pressure on them. And they have a lot of, as we said, a lot of misunderstandings about addiction. And so by them participating in family program, they learn so much more, you know, so that they are getting the right information so they can make the right kind of decisions.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk some about that, the family systems and dealing with intervention with an older adult, because I know that can be difficult, and dealing with spousal issues with an older adult. And some of that's going to be kind of meaty, and we're getting ready to go to break. So let me just say that, again, the Pine Grove Legacy Program is the one that Carol Collarin consults with, and we're talking about that program as well as her work there. The Pine Grove call-in number is 1-888-574-HOPE.
And you might mention that it's Hattiesburg, Mississippi, too.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it is. I know. Hot in the summer. Whew.
Yes.
No, I love it. Anyhow, so let's just go ahead and go to break, and then we'll come back and talk about some of these other topics.
Okay. We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Please visit Rebecca's website at www.addictioninamerica.com to get more information on today's show, our guests, and other resources. The website contains a bookstore of material by various authors, musicians, and instructional videos to download. Applications for case management, referrals, and intervention can be made through the bookstore as well. Be sure to visit addictioninamerica.com. Addiction in America is here to help you take control of your life. The website again is www.addictioninamerica.com.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Addiction in America with Rebecca Bullion. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Again, that's Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, thanks for rejoining us. We've got Carol Colleran, and I wanted to continue here talking about how treatment is different in older adults. And some of that would be, you know, in dealing with an intervention with an older adult, I think that can be particularly difficult. Carol, do you have an idea on that, how that can be?
I do, and it is. It's not as easy with the older adult, but there are several points that are very important. One of the things that often happens in the older adults is that adult children play different roles. And sometimes I didn't believe until I heard it several times that the issue of what I call the issue of the will. And what that is an older, one of the, say if you have four adult children, one of them may not be willing to be part of things or agree with it because of the will. And they will actually say, no, I am not going to mess with anything. I stand to inherit money and I'm not going to mess it up. And you know what? Our older adults are every bit as clever and conniving as younger people are too. And they will use that leverage and say, you know, don't mess with me or I'll take you out of the will.
Ouch.
You know, oftentimes they come into treatment saying, you know, angry and saying, I'm going to take them out of the will. Of course, they don't after they get through and all of that. But they're very, very sensitive to language, to words. For instance, the words addict and addiction alcoholic are very, very difficult words to try and use around them because they grew up in a time when addiction was a very shameful thing.
What substitute words do you use?
Oh, instead, I would say talk about, it's most important to talk about what the alcohol is doing to them.
Yes.
Not about them and their actions, but what
alcohol is doing
to them. And, in terms of labels, you know, you talk about, overcoming alcohol problem or medication dependence. You know, you talk about alcohol and medication, you don't talk about alcoholic or alcoholism.
I wanted to refer back to, like page 24 in the book where we were talking about the roles. That would be the rescuer, the scolder, and the concealer. And I just want to read a little excerpt here. It says, when mom is at her worst, the rescuer cleans her up and doesn't mention it to the rest of the family. She pumps her full of vitamins and feeds her something nourishing, takes time off work, rearranges schedules, spends less and less time with her husband and children, drops what she's doing, and often denies alcohol is the real problem and gets, I imagine, stretched really thin.
Well, that's exactly true. And what happens with the rescuer is that they never really directly address the cause. They never really address the issue of the alcoholism with that person or with the family. They try and cover it up and fix it before the family, and they try to avoid any conversation about it. And then you come along to the scolder.
Yes, the sibling who is angry and resentful and complains that the rescuer coddles mom.
Yep, that's right.
I'm reading from the book here. And so does the scolder scold the parent usually for?
Well, they scold the parent as well because they can't understand why she just doesn't stop. Why doesn't she get her act together? And they don't understand. All of this is because they don't have the right information about the disease of alcoholism.
Yes. What are some resources that you would direct people to get more information about this?
Well, certainly Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you have an older adult in your life that you suspect may have some kind of a problem, it's certainly going to help to go to Al-Anon. The other thing that you can do is contact some agencies. You can contact Pine Grove or others and see what they recommend. They'll recommend in your area what's available to you to begin to learn more about it.
Well, let's not forget Aging and Addiction, your book, and your website is agingandaddiction.net.
Oh, absolutely. I forgot about that. Absolutely.
Right.
If you want to learn more, get the book.
But overall, I think it's important for people to remember that ignoring the problem can preserve the problem. And it's just this big catch-22. There's so much stuckness. And so doing an intervention, let's go back to talking about that. And there's many fronts. There's the medication, intervention. There's the, the alcohol issue, if that exists. Then there's this issue of how do you intervene on an older adult who has a substance issue and is driving? Do you have some tips on that?
Sometimes families are going to actually have to directly intervene on that, because one of the best things, one that we hear the most, is they'll restrict them from taking the grandchildren in the car with them anywhere. And that's also a very good leverage when you're doing an intervention.
Yeah.
Grandchildren are a great leverage. I don't recommend that they be there as part of the intervention.
Right.
But, if you can talk with them, if they are resisting accepting what you're recommending to them, then you may have to, again, go back to the children and say that rather than attack them, you go back and say, well, you know, if you cannot accept what we are talking about, what we're recommending here, I will not be able to allow you to babysit with the children. I'll not allow the children to ride in the car with you.
That's a tough one.
May have to turn them in about the driving.
Oh, yeah, I'll imagine. How does that happen? How does that actually happen? Does an adult child call?
Yeah, you'd have to take legal action on it. You'd have to go to the court and talk to them. And they have to be ruled incompetent or dangerous to be driving. And what they would do is probably have them try a driver's test, which, of course, they probably would not pass. But I really want to push, keep in mind that an intervention with an older adult should be done with love.
Yes.
It's more important that you love, and you don't talk about, you don't use words like drunk. You know, that's a humiliating way to describe it, you know. And you don't talk about what are you doing to yourself and why can't you stop. That's why you want to keep the defenses down. You know, you have to use statements like how alcohol has turned on you.
It's not
your fault that you have this disease, and it is a disease.
I imagine that using the doctor to help would be very important.
A doctor plays a major role in an older adult's life. They have tremendous respect for the doctor, and he can get away with things that others can't. Now, there again, doctors are very busy, so they don't necessarily have time to come to an intervention. But they can generally help you if you call and talk with them and take the older adult into the office. You can usually get some help from the doctor with it.
But what happens if the doctor is also the one perhaps prescribing the problem drug?
Exactly. That was just in my mind here when I said what I did. Then you have to find a different doctor. You have to go to a different doctor, because sometimes they are what I refer to as Dr. Good Guys. And I had to speak up at Bellevue Hospital to the new residents and interns, the new doctors up there. And I knew that when I started talking about the benzodiazepine, somebody was going to complain, and one of them said, well, what's wrong with keeping a 75-year-old woman on Valium for 20 years or whatever? And, you know, it's unbelievable. They don't have a clue. So I did start doing some training, and we need more of it in our medical schools. They put very little time on addiction and no time on aging and addiction.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I imagine. Do most older adults, do they have more than one doctor, do you think?
Oh, you know, when I said our older adults are clever, they will get their drugs in any way. They'll get it in the same way that younger people do. They will have multiple doctors and get their drugs that way. And they'll get them on the street, too. So never think for a moment that that sweet little grandma isn't going to do something similar to what a 22-year-old might do.
Now, this I have not heard of before. It does kind of surprise me. I haven't seen that. How do they go to the street, and how do they find their way around?
Well,
I mean, that's amazing.
It's really very difficult. I've been working with a woman that was addicted to pills, and they will take chances that you would not believe. They would meet drug dealers. She would meet drug dealers on a road.
No.
And but
this is where intervention is definitely important.
This particular woman happened to have enough money to buy off somebody to find all that for her. And so addiction is a deadly, deadly disease, whether they're young or they're old. It's even more deadly in the elderly because of the physiological changes in our body, too. And,
yes.
And they have a real resistance, you know, to treatment. They come to treatment with their own set of issues. You know, oftentimes older women tend to come into treatment with no real identity of their own. They are a wife, they're a mother, they're a daughter, and they'll often speak in terms of third person when you ask them about themselves. And and men come into treatment, older men come into treatment very resistant to group therapy, that type of thing, because this age group did not talk about feelings,
you know.
They, they're very prideful and generally self-accomplished, and so they have what, you know, sometimes what we're asking them to do is undo a whole lifetime of willfulness, you know, where they succeeded.
Yes, I guess that's when I think of the depression era personality, the pull yourself up by your bootstraps and
absolutely
fierce independence and work yourself, you know, to the point, you know, where, you know, I don't know what I'm saying, but anyhow, because I think we have to go to break here in a minute, but I just want to, you were addressing that. It is, I'm reading from page 3. It says, there really isn't much for him to enjoy anymore, so why shouldn't he spend his time drinking? Who does it hurt? He's worked his whole life. He deserves a reward.
That's a family speaking, you know, and at family and neighbors and whatever. And that's part of, you know, when I talked about the throwaway generation, it's like, go sit in your corner and just be quiet. You did your job. And you know what? There is so much out there for older adults. I mean, look at me. I'm 76 years old and found the love of my life. I'm getting married.
I want to hear that story. I want to hear that story. Well, tell it real quick and then we'll go to break.
All right. I was in the hospital I had retired, I thought, and I was in the hospital having total knee replacement. And they wheeled me back from the operating room to my room, and my cell phone rang, and I answered the phone, and this male voice said, "Carol, I've been looking for you for so long. I made the biggest mistake of my life years ago when I let you go." And I thought, who the heck is this? And in my fuzzy, foggy state, I said, "Well, would you call me back in 8 days, please?" And ultimately he called, and he told me who he was, and he was my first boyfriend when I was 15 years old. We had not seen each other for 61 years. Both had gotten married, raised families, all of that. And now we're engaged to be married.
You know, most of those people that I haven't talked to since I was in high school, I find on Facebook. Were you on Facebook?
No, no.
How did he find you?
He found a friend of mine. And now he's up in Minnesota and I'm in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he found a friend of mine who hadn't heard from me, and then all of a sudden he saw her again, and she said, yeah, I saw Carol. And so he found out about it, and he had her give me his email address and his phone number, and I just never called. So then he called her again. He was very persistent and got my phone number, and hence the phone conversation at the hospital. So,
wow. Well, let's go ahead and go to break, and then when we come back, let's talk some about aging and the baby boomer generation, okay? All right.
Yeah. Okay.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
Please visit Rebecca's website at www.addictioninamerica.com to get more information on today's show, our guests, and other resources. The website contains a bookstore of material by various authors, musicians, and instructional videos to download. Applications for case management, referrals, and intervention can be made through the bookstore as well. Be sure to visit addictioninamerica.com. Addiction in America is here to help you take control of your life. The website again is www.addictioninamerica.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Addiction in America with Rebecca Bullion. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Again, that's Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back. We are speaking with Carol Colleran, and I wanted to talk some about the issue we mentioned about the older generation being the baby boomers. Now, I was born in 1964, and I understand from playing Trivial Pursuit that I'm in the last year of the baby boomers generation.
That's right. You're what they call the trailing edge of boomers. Boomers are everyone that was born from 1946 to 1964.
Wow.
And those in the early part were called the leading edge boomers, and those in the latter part, of course, called the trailing edge boomers. And the first wave of boomers, the leading edge, that arrived in like 1946, that was the year of Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care book.
Oh,
and that
love
book kind of transformed the art of parenting, if you will.
It certainly did. And I invite anybody who was parented by Dr. Spock to listen to last week's show where we talked about attachment disorders. Just joking. Dr. Spock had a lot of interesting info there, but that was some of the philosophies I disagree with, obviously. But anyhow, let's talk about, I mean, baby boomers are, if those folks were, you know, some of them raised in the, you know, early 60s, then that would shape older adult treatment in a different direction because of the
acceptance
of that culture from the 60s.
Well, when you think about those leading edge boomers, I think they're most often associated with like protest movements of the 60s. As well as kind of the over-publicized experimentation with sex and drugs. It's kind of the start of all of that. And the last batch, the trailing edge, that arrived in 64, that was a year after President Kennedy was assassinated. And three civil rights workers were murdered in Mississippi. And that was at the time when Congress passed the Gulf of Tonkin resolution granting presidential freedom in authorizing combat actions in Vietnam. So those things kind of help form how we think, what our beliefs are. Trailing Edge kind of began their young adult lives with really ebullient expectations, if you will, kind of a sense that the world is my oyster.
Mm. You know, my dad used to say that to me all the time. The world is your oyster.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so baby boomers, I would imagine that their acceptance of the idea of a substance abuse problem would be easier for them to accept than for a depression era older adult.
There are a lot of things about the boomers coming into the older adult population and into treatment is that they understand alcoholism as a disease. They understand addiction as a disease. So that's a big hurdle that you don't have with the boomers. On the other hand, the boomers have computers, and they've grown up in the computer age, and they Google everything. The younger boomers Google everything. And doctors, medical doctors now are saying that they come into the office, they've already Googled their symptoms, they Googled what they think is wrong, and they have the solution, and they bring it into the doctor, and 46% get the exact prescription that they Googled and asked for.
Wow.
So they kind of diagnose their own. Mm-hmm. And go to the doctor and tell the doctor what's wrong with them, and then they get what they decided was wrong and what will help it. So that's a problem when it comes to treating addiction, because that strong will is a real issue in treatment. And that whole attitude of, you know, I know all about this, so all you have to do is run me through and everything will be fine.
You know, those attitudes. And so I'm thinking about one topic I wanted to make sure and hit on. For those people that are listening in that are dealing with a parent or two parents and an addictive problem, with one parent being the addict, obviously, and the other parent the enabler, how do you get past that? Do you have some tips?
Oh, sometimes it takes then a professional interventionist to help the family. They work with the family first and educate that family, work with them to get them on the same, the same page. Because I think if you can get that family to present, all kind of as a united front, if you will, you're going to have a much better chance of making progress with the older adult. But when you've got four adult children all on different pages, so you have to bring them together. That's a major challenge for the interventionist.
I think that goes back to the roles we talked about, the rescuer, the scolder, and the concealer. Tell us, we didn't talk about the concealer. What does that child do?
The concealer hides everything and feels very shameful about what's happening. So they hide it, you know, from the public. They hide it from, try to hide it from the rest of the family, and they just simply won't face what's going on. So in one family, if you've got a rescuer, a scolder, and a concealer, you really have kind of a mess, because it's very hard then. Unless the fourth one is more open and understanding and has a better idea of what's going on.
I'm looking at page 18, and I wanted to say the subtitle is "The Older Adult's Addiction Affects the Health of the Spouse and Anyone Else Who's Closely Involved." Can you talk about that for a minute?
Oh, it does, because they will take on kind of somatic, psychosomatic illnesses. And like the somatic illness, the illness that the older adult has, or the spouse has, the psychosomatic is just as serious. And sometimes that family member is sicker physically sicker than the actual older adult is.
Wow. Carol, I know I dealt with that with my mom and my stepdad, only it wasn't with addiction. The doctor was talking about the Alzheimer's, and he said, this is a terminal illness. It doesn't have to kill two people. So listen,
right.
We are almost out of time. I can't believe it. The time has gone so quickly. And I wanted to reflect back to people that emailed in after last week's show. I thank you very much for your participation, and feel free to do so again. That would be an email to Rebecca@addictioninamerica.com. And I want to do a little promo plug for my friend Paul Wilmot. He's got a good recovery song that I really like called Reality. And I'm looking at a sheet here that says, download Reality for $1. Please go to paulwilmot.com or email him at pwilmot@gmail.com. He's got some really good recovery music, and you know, make your donation for $1 or more. And anyhow, let me also restate the Pine Grove helpline is 1-888-574-HOPE. And Carol, I thank you so much for being
here. You're so very welcome. One thing I would like to mention is that Legacy does accept Medicare for the detox portion of the treatment, and that's very unusual, but because they are connected with the hospital, they do have that, and they have 24/7 nurses on site.
Great.
Right on the unit. So.
Okay, and so, of course, this show is going to be listed in the archives on my Addiction America page on voiceamerica.com, but also you can look at addictioninamerica.com, just my general website, and I do intervention case management if anybody is interested in calling me or emailing about more about these services or about any other show that you hear. So we're going to go ahead and sign off, and maybe we'll have you back on again. And I thank you so much for your time, okay?
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a good week.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Addiction in America. Please join Rebecca Bullion again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until our next program, have a good week, and may you be one step closer to conquering your addiction.
I'm having a hard time just trying to understand all the suffering, the misery that man goes through.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com.